He reached across the wrinkled sheets of the previous night's debauchery to find his battered old iPhone sitting in its customary place on the bedside table. Good. He'd remembered to plug it in. Somewhere in the recesses of his alcohol-fogged mind, he remembered hearing the notification chime. It was Tuesday. That could mean only one thing. A new episode of Table to Stage with Jordan Werma. He looked over his shoulder. She was still sleeping, chest rising and falling and deep breathing. Then something about heaving bosoms and a soft, cool breeze. He plugged in the cheap drugstore earbuds that he'd had to buy when he'd lost the last pair of cheap drugstore earbuds. And there it was, that song. Oh, that song. Okay, so that got a little weird. Sorry about that. That was my attempt at a dime store romance novel type intro. I won't do it again, I promise. Today's guest is author Elsa Kurt and her alter ego, Melanie Cherniak. Or maybe it's the other way around. Pen names are, they're a little confusing. One of those personalities, though, writes children's books, and the other writes contemporary women's fiction. Definitely not romance novels. We recorded this episode while simultaneously broadcasting live on Facebook from that bookstore in Wethersfield. It was an experiment that I will be repeating once in a while for Table to Stage patrons. That bookstore is a great little shop. It's rather new. It's right on the Silas Dean Highway in Wethersfield. And they actually have quite a good selection of local authors represented on their shelves. So make sure if you're in the area, go check them out. Elsa slash Melanie began writing for publication just a few years ago, and oh boy, is she prolific. I think just in the few weeks since we recorded, she's released at least 9,000 books. I'm not very good at math, so that might not be accurate. Either way, she's definitely busy and has developed quite a loyal readership with her novels and her line of children's books. So we talked about all of that. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating and review on iTunes. Those ratings do make it quite a lot easier for other listeners to find the pod. And of course, you can subscribe to the pod on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen. I've gotten some reports that some of the podcast services aren't refreshing the feeds quite right. So if you run into that, please let me know so I can try to get it troubleshooted. And you can also email me at tabletostage@gmail.com or send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For now, I'll just let it go to Elsa. Oh, that's a different Elsa.
I am a Rocky Hill girl, a Connecticut girl, born and raised, grew up in right up the street here in Rocky Hill, raised my daughters in Newington, and came and lived, and I live in Wethersfield now, and I've been here for probably close to 10 years, so I just went in a little triangle. I didn't go far.
Is there something about this part of the state that just keeps you here?
Oh, it's just home. I'm a small town girl. Yeah. I'm not going to break out into song, I promise. It's tempting, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, make it interesting for anybody watching
it
on
would.
That thing.
It would make them turn it off. It's not a good... Don't do it. But, I really am just a small-town girl. I don't like the big cities. Yeah. I didn't have... if I moved away from here, it would just be to another small town.
Okay. All right. So when did you first get involved in writing? Was it when you were very young? Did you come to it later?
Oh yeah. I lived and breathed books growing up. Yeah. I would actually get yelled at for always having a book in my hands because I wouldn't engage, you know, okay. As an introverted, shy kid, book was, you know, the safety zone. I always wrote for myself, you know, I was too shy, too reserved to show anybody, but always wrote. And you know, I threw away so much stuff, you know, it was probably garbage anyhow,
we'll never know now.
We'll never know. It's so sad. But, I didn't start writing with intent. And what I mean by intent is just intent to share and publish until I was in my 40s, which...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was 42. I think it was 42 when I self-published my first children's book.
Okay.
And it just lit a fire.
So you started your publishing career with children's literature.
I did.
Okay. So we'll get to the differences between those things in just a minute. But when you were growing up and you started reading a lot, I read a lot too. Mm. I got in trouble in school because I would ignore my class and have my face buried in a book.
Same.
The ones that got me in trouble were like the Choose Your Own Adventure and the Three Investigators, stuff like that when I was in like fourth, fifth, sixth grade or whatever it was. So what was it for you couldn't get your nose out of the book?
So I have an older brother who's 4 years older, so he was reading, of course, you know, at a higher level than I was, but he would leave his books out, and he left out C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
The Narnia Chronicles. Yeah. I get like a little heart.
Was there one of those books that stood out to you?
It was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Voyage of the Dawn Treader was the one that...
Really?
I read that a few times.
I wonder if it's a boy thing, because that one didn't pull me as hard for some reason, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian. And, but I read those and reread them and reread them and reread them. And they just, you know, and it was before I think I even understood what I was reading, you know, because it was a little...
Well, it was just a fun story.
Oh, it's just such a great story. And, you know, so C.S. Lewis was really like the first
love. So how did your reading habits change as you grew older? What was the thing you moved on from? I moved on to from C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, you know, it's the weirdest thing, and we were just talking about it earlier before you came in. But Jane Austen is probably like the strangest thing for a young girl to pick up. I think I was probably 10. I think it was like in my...
Oh, that's pretty young.
Yeah.
For that.
Oh, I didn't understand a single thing. I had no idea, but I just knew that it was like something amazing.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, even if you don't understand it, the language use must be really interesting at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was just, you know, words that didn't make any, you know, phrasing that made no sense to me. But, you know, I think it was like the book itself. It was just like this big, heavy... old book that my aunt had lying around. And
which one was it?
It was Pride and Prejudice. That's the one. And I love, you know, I love Emma and I love, you know, I love all of them, but that's the one.
Yeah. So what is it you read now?
Right now I'm actually listening. I'm so bad. And I hate to say I don't have time for something, but so the truth is I haven't made time for reading. So, what I have been doing is listening to audiobooks while I'm driving. And right now I'm listening to Leanne Moriarty, What Alice Forgot. Okay. And so I'm a little obsessed with her right now.
Okay.
But
so you still into fiction? That's still your
thing.
Yeah,
I'm definitely a fiction girl. I love, it's not necessarily that I love romance. I like just contemporary fiction right now. I just love being told a story.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm hooked on Audible myself. Yeah. Like between Audible and audiobooks and all the podcasts I listen to. I don't make time to read.
but
I still get all the same books I would have read
Absolutely,
anyway.
Absolutely, yep.
So when you started writing, where did your personal style come from? Or how would you describe your writing style?
Yeah, you know, so I have this really weird habit of flying by the seat of my pants and jumping everything I do, like face first.
Yeah.
So I honestly, you know, I love so many different styles and so many different writers. What I've been told about my writing always, whether it's like writing an email or anything, I've always been told that I write very conversationally.
Okay.
Like I like my writing to be like almost like this. You know, you're sitting with a friend and you're talking and and, you know, you're just telling each other stories. And, you know, I like that really personal feeling like you're there. Yeah. You know, this is, you're in the story, you're part of it.
So you don't use a lot of formal language. It's a lot of colloquial kind of stuff.
Yeah, or, no, yeah. I try and avoid it. You know, funny enough, I do find that I have a little problem with being too wordy. So,
okay.
You know, so I do. And I think it is that I'm trying to find that balance in my own mind. Like, oh, I don't right. want to be too conversational. So let me pretty this up right, a right. little bit.
There's a line between conversational and unprofessional.
Yeah, exactly.
My 7th grade language arts teacher would not approve of this.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's so true. You know, I really feel like my 8th yeah. grade or 7th grade English teacher is sitting on my shoulder when I write a certain way or I do certain things or yeah. break certain yeah. rules, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
I always hear my senior English teacher in high school, Mrs. Schoenhaus, I always hear her.
Yeah.
before I even send a text message,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, did I get all the grammar correct? Did I get the punctuation?
Oh, yeah.
So that's interesting. How do you think you developed that sort of conversational style in your writing? Because, I mean, Jane Austen was not
conversational. Not at all. And if I thought for one second I could write like that, I probably would try it, but I know myself better.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that old phrase that, you know, you always hear, or writers are always hearing, which is write what you know.
Write what you know,
And, you know, to a degree, yeah. I mean, of course, you know, if I just wrote my own personal experience, all you'd be hearing about is, you know, raising a couple of kids and, you
sure.
know.
Yeah.
But I stick to, you know, kind of what's my pocket, what feels comfortable. So
okay.
it's really just by feel,
yeah.
you know. There's no formal anything.
Okay. Now, you sort of describe yourself in your online bios mm-hmm. and all that stuff as a multi-genre
mm-hmm.
writer.
Yep.
So what sort of genres do you touch on? What is it
sure.
you write?
So I do, you know, I'd like to bounce around. So like the fancier way I just decided to say it was multi-genre
right,
instead
right.
of just genre hopper.
Okay.
and really because I started, you know, so late or technically so relatively close to my current age, you know, it's
yeah.
just, I'm 46 now and I started at 42. I'm still learning. Like
yeah.
I'm still a work in progress. So I'm really discovering what I love to write.
Okay.
And you know, I have a love for writing young adult and children's as well, of course. But I think really what keeps calling me home, so to speak, is just women's contemporary fiction. I do like writing for women.
Okay, so what is women's contemporary fiction?
I know.
That's a romance novel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a dressed up or camouflaged uh-huh. way of saying
okay.
that, probably.
All right.
Yeah, I always struggle with the romance tag.
Yeah, yeah. It's Fabio with his hair blowing.
Exactly.
Right.
People automatically, they're like, oh, you write romance, so
yeah.
it's like all heaving bosoms and, you know, like
right,
no,
right.
it's not. It's not the Harlequin cover. I mean, it can be there,
yeah.
and there's nothing wrong with that. That's romance is the top selling genre out of all of
is
them.
Is that right?
It is.
I didn't. I
yeah,
didn't know
romance
okay.
outsells everything hands down.
Really?
So it's not a bad one to
no,
write, and if
no,
you can
no,
write
no.
it,
I'm sure it's not.
But you know, I'm like so. I'm super awkward. So you know, writing like real legit romance
yeah.
to me, like I laugh, you know,
right, right.
like I'm giggling like a 12 year old kid.
I wouldn't be able to get through writing one sentence
yeah.
or something like that.
Oh yeah. No, it's so, you know, it's challenging, but I think like almost every book, unless you're, you know, reading, I don't know, something really dry has an element of romance, you know? And
yeah.
so yeah, if I were really hard pressed to say, I would always
okay.
say,
but
yeah.
contemporary women's fiction.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound
okay.
fancier?
It does. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely use that. So what other genres have you attempted so far?
So I have done some legit romance through a small publishing house. There were a couple of little anthology
okay.
Novellas, short stories, and they fit right in the romance genre. And fits their criteria. They have very special criteria. I don't know if you know that, too.
Okay.
Like,
no, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, there's there are rules to romance, which is you have to have a happily ever after or happily for now.
Really?
Yes. Romance readers will
This is for the ending.
Yes, yeah? For the ending. Okay. Yes.
So it has to end on an upbeat
has
note.
To. Okay. That's the, you know, law number one. And if you break that, you're in big trouble. You're going to get some nasty, nasty reviews. And they'll, you know.
All right.
Yeah. So.
I guess nobody wants a downer on like reading on the beach
yeah.
or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like they want a light, happy read, something that takes them away from, you know, whatever they've got going on in life. And, you know, that's why we watch soap operas. And are there any soap operas left anymore?
I
don't
no
know
idea.
If they're gone. What?
Know.
You don't know? What? Come on.
I tried to watch that Once Upon a Time.
Oh,
I tried to watch that with my wife.
Yeah.
And like halfway through the first season, I realized this is not
It's not
going
to work
for
you. yeah. But how about This Is Us?
I haven't seen it. Nope, haven't seen it.
Oh, my. You'll cry. I'm just telling you. You'll cry.
I won't because I won't watch it.
If you did, you'll cry.
Yeah, I see my wife crying when she watches it.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's not a selling point for me. I don't
want to. No, my husband asks me every time, why are you watching this?
There's enough real stuff in the world to cry about.
Yeah. He's like, you're crying like real actual tears. Yeah, it's not even right.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you write for adults.
I do.
You write for children. Mm-hmm. You write for these different audiences under different names.
Yes.
So talk about that for a minute, because it's got to be kind of confusing.
It's super confusing. I'm confused all the time. Do you know when I introduce myself? I'm like, they'll say, what do you want to be called? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Just, I answer to, hey, you.
Yeah. Well, so do I. Yeah.
Regularly, you know. But, yeah. So when I started writing with intent.
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind to use a pen name.
Okay.
Now I actually kind of regret it. I wish I'd done everything with just the pen name. Cause like you said, it's confusing, you know, cause on the website on my Facebook page, I originally had my name as, author Elsa Kurt. And then I think like Melanie Cherniak, I think I had in like parentheses or something. I can't even remember now. And, I ended up taking that off and just going straight with Elsa Kurt.
Yeah.
And, it leads to a lot of confusion, you know, especially when I do like book events and if I carry both, I don't always have both when I do an event. But when I do, they're like, so who's this and who's this? I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let me go get the other author.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me
turn
just,
around and
I'll do
right
like
back.
A little spin. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I might try that.
So I know on your Amazon author page or whatever, mm-hmm. it says children's books under the name of.
Yes.
But when you started writing, your children's books initially came with your real name.
Yep.
So why did you decide eventually to use a pen name for your adult fiction?
Yeah. So kind of, multiple reasons, not big major ones, but just two real reasons. One was I wanted a little separation between the two. I felt like children's books and stuff with like romance and stuff. I thought it was like kind of just weird for me to have like the same name on both. The other part is, so Elsa Kurt is actually my grandparents' first names.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were, and still are, they've both passed away a long time now. But they were just the sun, moon, and stars to our family. And I adored them beyond words. So I thought this was such a cool
little
homage to them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to, I kind of wanted to pay a little tribute to them and just give the nod and kind of always have them tangible, I guess, in a weird way, you know?
Okay. That's interesting. It's nice to be able to kind of keep those people with you as you go on. So as you've been churning out these children's books and these novels, how many? Seven novels?
Seven novels.
And how many children's books?
Oh, let's see. So four, five. I think there's probably about seven.
So
I think
14
seven.
Books.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
4 years.
Yeah, it's a little crazy, right? Yeah, yeah. Did I mention that I have ADD? So
oh
it's,
my god.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm either completely scattered or hyper-focused.
Wow.
There's no in between the two.
So how do you... I don't even know. How do you find the time? How do you find the motivation, the inspiration? Like, what keeps you going? Because, I mean, that's...
It's crazy, right?
That's a...
I know. It's a little bananas.
Yeah.
yeah, I am super, super motivated. I'm incredibly fortunate to have a large chunk of my day available to write.
Yeah.
And when I first started writing, I thought like it had to be this thing where I'd be like, oh, I have to be in like the creative mood. I can only write when inspiration strikes. You know, and then I started kind of educating myself a little bit on what other real authors, air quotes and everything, not that they're not real, but other authors do. And, you know, what I kept reading over and over again is now you treat it like a job. You set a time, you set a place, you set a mood, and you make this, you know. And when I started doing that, it was just completely.
That's one thing I always read about, like the big successful authors. It's like, no, I go to my office 8 o'clock every morning. I write for 30 minutes, even if I end up throwing all of it away.
Absolutely.
Just because to get in the habit, and the structure and the schedule and all that stuff. So it's obviously working.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have this, you know, and I have this thing about time. It's not that I feel like I'm, you know, racing against time or anything like that, but I'm so hyper aware of time and like how, you know, not to get melodramatic about it, but how little time we really have, you know. So I just want to fill it up with the things that I always wanted to do. You know, like I said, I didn't start writing until I was 42. And I feel like, oh, you know, I missed so much time of, you know, all these thoughts and ideas and dreams and stories that were in my head, you know, and now they're just pouring out, you know.
Yeah. What's the reception been like so far? People that have read your books?
So far, so good. Yeah. I'm like, I'm waiting for the bad review. I know it's going to come, you know. And that's okay. Like, you know, I'm not asking anybody for a bad review. Please don't do it just because of, please. Just only good things. 5 stars are what we're looking for here, kid. But yeah, like it's almost like, oh God, just get it over and done with so I can like process it and, you know, lick my wounds and just move on. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet, you know, which only means that not enough people are reading.
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, I found out about you because you did was it a reading or is it just a signing? At Eco Coffee House.
Both. It was reading and a signing, yeah.
And I know the reception to that was fantastic.
It was really nice. It was really, really nice.
So,
yeah, I was on a contact high from that for quite a while.
How many of those kind of events have you done?
Oh, boy. Now, let's see, between larger events and individual events, it's probably been about maybe about 20 now.
Really?
Yeah, pretty close to it. I'd say in the range. I'd have to like, now I'm going to have to go back and like count them just to make sure I didn't lie to you.
What's that experience like to be able to interact with the people that have been reading your stuff?
Yeah, you know what? Initially, it was absolutely terrifying because, you know, we're nobody can be more critical of us than ourselves.
Right.
And I'm definitely no different.
Well, you think so until you get that first review.
That's true. You're right. I'm gonna get schooled on that at some point soon. So you're like, oh yeah, you thought you were hard on yourself here. But yeah, I mean, it was it's terrifying to put yourself out there, you know, and just put your thoughts and your words and yourself out there. So at first it was terrifying, and then when you start talking to people, and which I'm a introvert by nature, talking to strangers is really terrifying.
This is the only way I can do it.
I can only do it when I have my Elsa persona you know, as Elsa. I've got this. It's totally super cool. But you know, Melanie just wants to go home and hide. But but then you start talking to people and you find out, you know, that everything is so relatable, and they're like, oh yeah, that, you know, when you wrote that, it made me remember, you know, this or whatever, or like, I totally understood that, or, you know, and like the greatest compliment a reader can ever give you, which is so weird, is you made me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what does it for you, huh?
Absolutely. Because, you know, when I write an emotional scene, I'm crying because I cry easily anyhow, so it's not really even a big deal. But, you know, I'll cry at a commercial. Yeah. Just talk about crying. I could start crying right now. I'd be a great actress.
Oh, well, there
I could
you
do
go.
It just Try for that. That. Just that for that. Next. Yeah. I can't remember lines, but, you know, I could cry for you really well.
All right. So if you ever need a crier, we'll
if
give
you ever
you a
need
call.
A crier, I'm your girl.
So, I mean, 14 books in 4 years is pretty impressive quantity.
Quantity, yeah.
What's been your experience getting the books to market? Like what? Because I mean, right now there's content.
Right.
People are creating, putting out their own stuff because you don't have to wait for the publisher now.
Right.
So you just print on demand and all this different stuff. So what's been what's been your experience, or what are the challenges that you've mm-hmm. had to overcome to get your stuff out there?
Yeah, when I first started, as I mentioned earlier, I jump face first into everything and I figure it out after.
Yeah.
And you know, so I had this silly notion that I was going to write this book and I was going to publish it. And then I was going to make money. Yay! Ta-da! What? That's not how it works.
I don't understand.
It's on Amazon. Why isn't everybody just buying it? Oh, because 130 million other people have published books.
Right.
And they're, and they're actually doing things to make, sales.
Sure.
So that was probably crash course number one, like that you actually have to tell people that you've written a book and that you would like for them to buy it.
Yeah.
And you have to have an author page and you have to do all these things to, to make it happen. So, now, of course, it's hysterical. Like, how could I have not known that? But
it's all obvious in hindsight, right?
Everything, right? I am primarily indie published, which does mean you're everything. You're publisher, you're editor.
Yeah.
And I can tell you some
editing your own stuff.
Oh, it's so bad. I have to be honest. I had to go back to my first novel and, good Lord. I was so wordy and errors, grammatical stuff.
How much time went by before you went back to it?
It took me a little while. It took me longer than it should have based on the mistakes that I found, and I didn't, and at that time I didn't know anything about having beta readers.
Okay.
So, I didn't even have anybody read my stuff before because it was
you just published it without anyone ever seeing it first.
Yeah. Badness. Yeah. I don't recommend that to anyone. Don't ever do that ever. It is a terrible, terrible, decision. And I made it and I learned from it. And, it was probably, about 6 to 8 months before I went back, because I have a,
6 to 8 months after it was published.
After it was published. Yeah. The good news is nobody was buying it because nobody even knew it existed.
That's the good news.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Somehow a negative becomes a positive.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I'm a total bright sider. I can turn that around easily.
All right. Which book was that? Which was your first?
This was
the children's book that you're talking
about?
That
was the young adult novel,
which
is Into the Everwood, Everwood, which is the first in a series of three.
Okay.
Two are still forthcoming.
All right. Okay, so I noticed you have some series that that are out there in the world now.
Yes.
So Into the Everwood is the first book of the Forever Everwood series,
correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the only one published so far?
Only one published so far.
Okay. You have a mindfulness series of children's books.
Correct.
What's the age range for something like that?
That's 6 to 9 or 7 to 9. And
okay.
Yeah.
Early readers.
Yeah, okay. Early readers. Kids that it could certainly be read to them, but it's kind of geared towards kids that can,
Okay.
It's just starting to read.
And then your newest book is Maze Cafe,
and
that is the first book in the Welcome to Chance series.
Yes.
Is that
yep.
right?
Okay. You got it. Exactly.
So what is that? What's the story there?
Oh, so that's my baby right now. So that's the one that's just been released, and it's going to be a 6-part series, and I can't.
6 books?
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm saving you from asking me that question. I know.
All right.
I know. I'm
like George R. R. Martin over here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Who I love, by the way. Wow. Yeah. It'll never be anything like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I just, when I started writing it, it was actually, there's actually 3 different stories going on in my head and on paper. Well, not on paper, on the laptop, technically.
Yeah.
And there were 3 separate book ideas that I had. And it was all of a sudden I realized, I think they belong together. Like, I think they all should be together. And then, so I started kind of merging them, and it's set in a small town, fictional town called Chance, Connecticut.
Okay.
Doing the whole do what you know or write what you know thing, which is small town life.
Sure.
And,
so this is your version of Derry, Maine.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No scary clowns. No,
All right.
Yeah. Someday.
Yeah.
Someday it could be though. I might try that. I might try my hand at
all
that.
Right. So what's the genre for this one? Is it?
The one we were talking before, that strange little contemporary women's fiction.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a romance.
Not a romance. There is some, there's a lot of romance in it, but just no heaving bosoms and Fabio hair.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Okay. And what's the story? What are you telling people with this book?
So the story is actually many stories, and it's going to follow the lives of all these people that live in this tiny little, okay. I think there's like maybe 8,000 people population in the town. In this small coastal town, and it follows their lives. So you're going to be following all of them, all of these characters throughout all of the books, but they're going to take turns being the main character. Okay. So you'll still hear, like, book one, of course, is May's Cafe, and so we meet May and William and Bruce and Feather Ann and the Bright Sider. So you meet a lot. So the first book, you're really meeting all the characters and just kind of getting, the start of all of their stories.
Okay.
And but we focus on May and what's going on with her. And she's going to have a little, here we go with romance. She's got a little love triangle going on.
Okay.
But at the core of it, I think that it's such a relatable story of just lives intersecting and people and how they relate to each other and just the relationships between, especially small towns where everybody grew up with each other and everybody knows each other's business and, you know, and
there's no real secrets. You just kind of think you have them.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really, it's so neat that you said that, because that's really the case here that, you know, everybody thinks that they have this like big secret going on and nobody knows, you know, what this is, but everybody knows, you know, they're just not saying that they know until it's too late, you know, until it's like, well, if I knew that you knew, but and I just, you know, when I started writing, I was so in love with these characters, and I know every writer says that they love their characters, and you know, it's just so true. I think we all just fall so head over heels with them.
How difficult does that make editing for you?
It's impossible,
because if you're so in love with your characters.
Oh yeah, I have no objectivity.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I have to. So now I do have beta readers, and I have like 5 people that I send them out to.
Okay.
And they go through, and they do different things. I let everybody kind of read the way they read or edit the way they edit.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, if you're the type that looks for grammatical errors, or if you're the type that just looks for story, just do what you do and send it back to me. And they're amazing. They find stuff and I feel like such a fool, you know, like the is they, and you know, just like that goofy
typos.
Yeah. They're just dumb little typos.
How do you go through and process all that? Cause you've got 5 different people making 5 different changes all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of information
to
try to process and then go back and implement.
Sure.
Or choose what you're going to implement first.
Right.
So how do you go through that process?
Yeah, I've been so fortunate that they truly understand what I need from them. So nobody is like made suggestions like, well, you should really have, you know, this happen instead of that. You know, they're really just looking at things like, okay, is the timeline right? You know, somebody caught for me, one of my readers, caught that a timeline discrepancy, you know, like, well, over here you said it was, you know, 8:00, but over there you said this same time, you know, it was happening at 3:00.
Right.
So you got to, you know, which one is
That's
it?
A good catch.
It was a fantastic catch. I was like, oh, thank you. You know, maybe, you know, and my other readers missed it, you know, so everybody's catching something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of look for, just give me what you feel, you know, because we're always, as writers, we're always afraid we're not giving our characters enough depth, you know, and I really, you know, I see everything in my head. So, you know, I can picture, you know, what William looks like. I know exactly what May looks like. And so it's easy for me to just keep writing as if you know.
Right.
You know, so they'll come, you know, and I'll ask them, you know, can you describe May to me? Like, what do you think she looks like, you know? And,
okay.
And what kind of feeling do you get from
now,
her?
Now, do you give them, like, this beta process? Does it go a chapter at a time, a chunk of chapters, or is it the full book?
I give them the full book.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're like, super avid readers. And, you know, so they'll have it. They usually have it done. Jeez, some of them have them done for me within a week, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
Some, I usually try and give them like 2 to 3 weeks so they can kind of do it at their leisure.
Yeah.
But they're great. They get it back pretty quick. I'm not going to be so easy on them this time because I'm going to need the next one back really quick.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So how long does it take you to get through your first draft of a novel like this?
Yeah. So I'm what they call in our little writer's world a pantser.
Okay.
Yeah. So instead of, like, I don't plot everything out. I have no idea what's going to happen in a story until I'm writing it. So I write straight through.
Yeah.
And when it's done, it's done. And
so you don't outline anything, just nothing.
Nothing.
Just from word one.
Yes.
You just have an idea.
I just have an idea, and I let the story, it sounds so flaky to say it, but I let the story tell itself. I just let it.
But I hear that from a lot of people. Like, yeah. Stephen King says that about his own stories.
I'm which
like, I don't know
blows
how,
my mind.
I don't know how he manages that.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
And some people are very methodical.
Like, right.
They'll go through and they'll make an outline. They'll make, you know, they'll write basically an entire book about each character going through their whole backstory and everything.
I would love to be able to do that. My mind won't let me.
So, but what is it that that gets you started? Is it a character that you want to talk about? Is it a story you want to tell?
It's always the weirdest thing. It's always something goofy with me. It's like, you know, wake up, I'll have like a crazy dream, and I'll wake up and I'll have to, you know, start writing it, and then it turns into
so you're the Billy Joel of writers.
I'm the Billy Joel of writers. Yeah, I like that. I'll take that because I love
that's,
him.
That's what he always says. I dream all the music and
absolutely
I just write it when
I
wake up.
Yeah, I'm like a crazy god. Even growing up, I like would dream the whole Wizard of Oz story in my head and wake up like with a whole new plot line for it, even.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the books I wrote, Lost and Found Girls, I literally woke up in the morning with the first sentence in the book in my head, which is I know something you don't know.
Okay.
And it just kept repeating in my head and repeating. I was like, all right, I get it. I got to write it down.
Okay.
And you know, I still
so the
have
the whole book came out of
the whole
one
book
sentence.
Came out of one sentence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still to this day, they tell you when you talk about your books, when somebody asks you about it, you know, you're supposed to have elevator pitch,
write
down.
Right.
I have no elevator pitch for that book, and it's been out for a couple years now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I don't know, you just got to read it.
Really?
It's a terrible way to try and sell your book. But I have the worst time describing that book because I still don't fully understand where it came out of.
Interesting.
Yeah. But is
that one that you self-published or did that go
yes.
through a publisher?
Yep. Okay. Self-published. Yeah. I'm really stingy about the whole, you know, traditional publishing process, which is great. And there's, you know, kind of nothing cooler than say that, yeah, I'm published,
right.
You know, I'm traditionally published.
It's a long process.
It's a
though.
Huge, yeah. long process. And, you know, you're still, and a lot of these people, you know, especially if somebody gets caught up in like with a vanity press and, you know, and they kind of get taken big time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's fine, but it's, you know, if that's the route you go and you're comfortable with it and you want to spend that kind of money up front,
right.
you know, but you're still your everything. You're still your promotions. You're still your marketing. You are doing everything yourself, just like I am.
Yeah.
You know, and all you get is a title tagged on at the end that you, you know, so
sure.
if that matters that much to you, God, create your own publishing house.
Oh, that's a thing of by itself. Right. There.
Oh, it's, there's so much. Yeah.
So what's the timeline like for your chance series? Is it six books mm-hmm. in 6 months?
Oh yeah.
Which seems to be about the rate you're putting.
Man, I know, right? No, the fastest gap or the shortest gap, I should actually say, will be between book one and two. I want book two out for Christmas time, which
okay.
I'm putting
oh, wow.
like, yeah. I,
so was that like 6 months between them?
Yeah, barely even.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is a little crazy, but, you know, I kind of had this idea for the second book because I wanted it set around Christmas time.
Okay.
Right. So it's a Christmas-themed book.
Were you writing these two, like, consecutively, or did you finish one, stop it, publish it, and
yes.
then move on to the second one?
Finish, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, I would love to have done it that way, but I'm the most impatient person in the world.
Yeah.
I get so excited. I have to like, I'm like, no, it's done now. So
well,
it's got to go out right
that's
now.
That's good though. I mean, if you're still getting excited about something that you like to do.
I love it. I always say, you know what? I write first and foremost for myself, for
yeah.
the absolute sheer joy of writing stories. And hopefully somebody else loves it too. But you know, that's,
yeah.
Goal one.
So where can people get May's Cafe right now?
You can get it right here at that bookstore in Wethersfield.
Okay.
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it through my website, which is elsakurt.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bookstore. I'm going to start hitting up all our little local indie bookstores because
yeah.
I like the reciprocal thing that we get to do, you know, stuff like this, give them a little pep.
This is, I've never seen this place. This is awesome.
Super cool. Yeah. It's such a sweet place.
Come down here and see this place.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So yeah. And, at, Book Club Bookstore and More in, South Windsor.
Okay.
Who are super, super supportive to indie authors and, as is that bookstore here. And, yeah.
I feel like distribution and marketing got to be the two hardest things
as a
self-published author.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get that help from the publishing company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
but
it's...
You should just load boxes of these books in the car and
load them in the car
around,
and take them around. I do lots of appearances, lots of book events, lots of fairs and festivals. And I was just yesterday at the Apple Harvest Fair.
Okay.
And yeah. So it's a lot of FaceTime because, you know, what... set you apart from 130.
Well, that kind of gives people like a personal,
exactly,
you know, a personal experience with the book too.
Yeah. And I love the connection. I love the personal connection, especially with like young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh my God, you're an author.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, you think it's as cool as I think it is. Yes. Yes. You know, and then there's people that walk by like, oh yeah, no, thank you.
Right. But, so your books on Amazon,
mm-hmm,
are they available for like a Kindle, like e-reader thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, they're paperback and e-reader and or Kindle, you know, whatever you have, tablet version. It works on all of them. The next big frontier will be like audiobooks.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, yes. I don't think I can afford somebody yet. My budget is smaller than what it costs.
Well, that's a good way to reach a whole other audience.
It really is.
Yeah,
that's the next one.
I've listened to stuff that I would never in a million years pick up and read the book.
Isn't that funny?
Hey,
yeah.
I can listen to this.
Yeah.
It's easy. All right, so Maze Cafe and the Welcome to Chance series,
mm-hmm,
is all set in Connecticut.
Yes.
So what about the Forever Everwood series?
Yeah.
What's that one like?
Yeah. So I like to call it a modern day fairy tale coming of age kind of story.
Okay.
And that is not so subtly set in Rocky Hill. So that's of course my hometown where I grew up. And
now, is this for young adults?
Young adults. Okay. Yeah. And it's, you know, got a little fantasy element to it, young romance. I hate to say the word now. Now it's like, oh. But, yeah, so a little bit of romance, coming of age, and strong. I love, you know, strong, complicated female characters. So, I love to show their journey and their transition from being, you know, insecure and doubtful to brave and courageous and tough.
Sure.
And, you know, I love that transition. I think, of course, girls, you know, definitely need to see themselves in lead roles, so to speak. But, yeah, I grew up as a kid. I grew up in an apartment complex. And, you know, I always tell the story that I thought we were rich because we had, you know, it was like a 900-square-foot, you know, apartment.
Oh, boy.
But we had tennis courts and an in-ground swimming pool and this massive yard. And there's this field, you know, this undeveloped area, like, way tucked in the back. And we used to always go run around and play in there. And, you know, I had that crazy kid overactive imagination. So I was always imagining these crazy stories.
Sure.
And that's where this was kind of born from, like those memories of that little fantasy world that I lived in as a kid. And so
is that another 6 book series that you've got going?
Oh gosh, no, I couldn't do that to myself. No, 3 books tops on that one. Yeah.
And
yeah.
When was the first one published?
That was, I want to say 2015.
Is book 2 out yet?
It's not out yet.
On.
It's, I know. I got to get cracking. I got to stop with the ADD brain and going and all these different directions. It's out. It's not outlined because we know I don't outline,
right.
But it's begun. We're probably about 5 chapters in with a clear end in sight. It's just a, it's just buckling down.
All right. And now what about your children's series, the mindfulness books? What's the plan with that?
Yeah. So that's just a really, you know, of course, my humble opinion. you know, it's a really, because I'm saying, you know, such a sweet way. But, you know, so I really, love mindfulness, mm-hmm. you know, and I love encouraging that in children, and they're so receptive to it, you know, just, you know, we underestimate how much they really understand,
yeah.
You know, you're a dad. So yeah, you know, and trust me, my kids will be the first one to rat me out and tell you that I have sworn, like they know I have a mouth of a truck driver. Like I am no... You know, they're grown now, right. So, you know, we laugh about all of it. But they're like, oh, yeah. Now they call me the cute pineapple. I don't understand what that means, but they pat me on the head like I'm a, you know. I'm like, you know, I'm your mom. Stop. I'm not a child. You're the child. But yeah, so my younger daughter was a wee bit of a handful. She was a feisty temper tantrum throwing thing like the first one. So your cliche, my first one was like, oh, we could take her anywhere, you know, she's fine. And I'd look at other, you know, parents with kids, you know, acting like maniacs. I'd be like, god, they don't know how to do it, it's so easy. And then my second one came along and she schooled me, you know, and she was the one that was, she was that kid throwing herself on the floor.
No.
And, you know, and so that's where, you know, and of course I started doing reading and about mindfulness and mindfulness practices and all of that stuff. And just, you know, teaching them little things like practicing the pause and being self-aware and being aware of how they affect, how their actions affect other people.
Right.
So these are just cute,
That's
sweet.
Really hard with kids.
It's so hard.
It's really hard.
It's so hard for adults. Like, I have a hard time. Like, yeah. I want my way and that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, kids don't have any real sense of anyone outside of themselves.
Exactly.
Like, they know that there's somebody over there.
Right.
But the idea that that person has thoughts and feelings like
yes,
they do.
Yes, yes. And that's the hardest thing to comprehend for them. You're absolutely right. You know, so empathy, responsibility. The last one that's still kind of in works is about jealousy. You know, it's just like all these things. Anger management, which is the first one. So it's just like these, it's these sweet little stories, simple little stories by a little girl named Lola, of course. And the first one is Lola Learns to Control Her Temper.
Okay.
So it just takes you through this little story of, you know, how she's just having a really hard time controlling her temper. And her mother gives her some suggestions about practicing the pause and being aware of how other people feel. So it's not preachy, but it's just kind of like, you know, hopefully gives them that little like,
How many books are in the series?
So there's four right now.
Okay.
And no planned end. You know, that's kind of one of those.
This is
like,
just as they come to you?
As they come.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Is that an illustrated book?
They are, but we don't make a big fuss about that part.
No.
It's my chicken scratch
I was
in there.
Ask
yeah.
Who does the illustrations?
Yeah. I am no artist, and you will see that in the book. So we like to say that those are Lola's drawings in the book.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
those
blame
are
it on the kids.
Yes, yeah. Always blame the kids.
all right. So I have something else that I want to get to, but because you brought it up, I'm gonna go off track a little bit. You've mentioned female characters and the kind of empowerment of seeing that as a leading character.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been over the last year and a half a real big push in, especially like in pop culture, pop media, this movement toward inclusion and representation for all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly not me. Like we're getting away from the white male paradigm, which
yes,
is way
yes.
overdue.
You are.
I am.
You're
obsolete.
The devil right now.
Right, exactly.
Let's
I'm
call it what it is.
Very aware of it. I'm comfortable with it too. I mean, whatever.
I'm just gonna own it.
Is what it is. We've done nothing to help anybody.
No, nothing.
But I'm really curious because, as someone who raised girls and is now writing a female perspective and writing female characters. How does that, like the kind of the zeitgeist of what's going on in the world now, how does that impact what you're doing?
Yeah.
And also what impact do you hope what you're doing has on everybody else?
Yeah. So, you know, I have such mixed feelings about it all. I was extremely fortunate. I was raised, like I said, I have an older brother. You know, my dad had the same expectations of me as he did of my brother. Yes, I was treated differently. You know, the whole girl-boy thing, I mean, it was 70s, 80s, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, none of this conversation was really that much of a thing for us, you know, as kids.
Right.
Not like our kids now are specifically being, you know, taught.
Yeah.
But
it's a very conscious thing now.
Yeah, super conscious thing. And it wasn't then, you know, it was, you know, all the usual stuff. Well, he can, why can't I, right. you know, whatever. I don't, you know, everybody's getting beat up pretty hard these days. I don't want to bash anybody. You know, I love guys. I think they're great. I think they are much smarter than we give them credit for. Yeah. I don't think they're the Neanderthal. No, you're going to cut. My husband disagrees with me too.
We'll cut
my husband
says,
no. My husband loves to say, don't give me so much credit, babe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we have such, unrealistic, unfair expectations of each other. You know, men are expected to be these certain ways, and then when they are, you know, they're mocked for, you know, for going against script or stereotype,
sure, yeah.
whatever. Women, you know, it's the same thing. There's so many conflicting messages. I just, you know, with my daughters, I just be good, just be good humans,
right.
be good people, look for the good in people. Also don't trust everybody blindly,
right,
you know.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I think, you know, my message, I hope, for my girls and from what I've, you know, learned for myself is don't define yourself by other people's,
yeah.
Perceptions or ideas of you, because they're not reality.
Right.
You know, so if you're looking for somebody else to define you or to determine your worth, I haven't done a good job of raising you, you know, because you're just your own person,
yeah.
you know, and you're going to, if you're strong, mentally and physically too, you're going to attract the type of people into your life that reflect that, you
sure.
know, so yeah, I try not to think about it too hard, the current climate of things, because it'll make you crazy.
Yeah.
I don't watch any news anymore. I don't want to know. You know, I know.
I wouldn't know where to get
yeah,
it if I wanted to watch.
Exactly.
It.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you know, I know enough to I know enough.
Yeah.
You know, so I focus on my little sphere of impact. You know,
yeah.
so if I can put out good messages and empowering messages and without, you know, taking away from anybody else, that's kind of my goal.
Okay.
You know,
that's fair.
It was like a really winding answer, probably.
It's an answer. Some people just avoid that stuff entirely.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I wanted to get to as far as your writing goes. I mean, it's amazing to me that you've, in 4 years... 14 books.
Yeah, it's a little bananas, I know.
Like.
Yeah, it's actually making me wonder, like, what else was I... Was I doing anything at all? I mean, I don't even know what else I was doing in that time.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I always do like to end all of my shows with a couple of segments where we just kind of get to know people outside of their creative endeavors.
Awesome.
So I have, like... the segment called Front Row Center, where
okay.
it's five rapid fire questions.
Oh.
I will ask them faster than you have to answer them.
I was going to say, yeah.
Think
God.
About it. Go ahead.
I'm such a slow thinker over here for like 5 minutes for every question, but go ahead.
They're,
we'll do the best I can.
They're supposed to be fun. Don't overthink it. Your favorite movie?
Geez, so cliche. Pride and Prejudice, the movie, as well as the book. So pathetic.
Okay.
I know.
No, that's fine. What about
but the BBC version, just so we're
okay.
clear. Yeah.
What's the other one? Pride and Prejudice and Zombies? Have you
yes.
seen it?
I've read it. Is it actually a movie too?
Think if it hasn't been made, I thought they're making it. I know they did the Abraham Lincoln vampire.
Oh, they did.
One, yeah.
I knew about that. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've read every variation. Yes.
All right. One book that you read at some point that just changed your life in some way.
Oh, you know, it's such a weird choice probably, but The Talisman by Stephen King.
Oh God, that's a good book.
That is
oh,
such,
my God.
I feel like that's such an underrated book.
The follow-up
book.
Was good too. The
it
Black
was,
House.
It was. I didn't love it as
no,
much.
No, well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jack was just
last year, I guess.
Did you?
For the third or fourth time, probably.
Oh, yeah, same.
It's
I just,
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, you know, and I love Stephen King. I could never write horror, but I love his writing style. Uh-huh. I think it's so rich,
yeah.
you know, and unique. But yeah, The Talisman just, as a writer, I think it changed me for some reason.
That's a good one. I really, really like that book.
Cool.
The best meal you've ever had.
Best meal I ever had. Oh my gosh, that's the toughest one of all. I love food so much.
Who doesn't
love
food?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. I suck. I'm totally drawing a blank. I can't. The best meal I ever had. It's going to be another lame answer. It's probably like something at Ruth Chris Steakhouse or something.
Oh, that's fun.
I take it back. Weird one. There was a restaurant in Treasure Island in Vegas.
Okay.
And I had this incredible, it was a steak dinner, but they had this like cream, it's so dumb. It was like creamed corn, but it was like, I don't know, it was like magical.
Creamed corn is nobody's favorite meal.
I know, it's so stupid. I was probably drunk. I don't know.
Right.
And that was why
it
was so good.
You get a pass on that one.
Yeah, we can cut that one out.
No. Do you have a biggest pet peeve?
Oh, yeah. I don't really care for rude people.
Oh.
And I won't say that I'm intolerant because, you know, no, actually that's the better word. I have an intolerance for intolerant people.
Okay.
How about all that?
Right. Yeah,
that's
fair.
That's going to be my answer.
I always tell people the only thing that's impossible is impossibility.
Yes, I like
same
that.
Kind of
yes,
thing.
Yeah.
So one place you think everyone should visit before it's too late.
Oh, one place everyone should visit before it's too late. I did tell you that I live in like a little bubble,
yeah.
Right? So kind of a vague one. If you've never been to the ocean, you must go. You must be on the shore at some point, right? That's
yes.
Fair enough,
yeah.
Right?
I could never live inland anywhere because
no.
I have to be within a couple hours mm-hmm. of the ocean at least.
Yes.
All right. So the last thing I always like to ask everybody is for a recommendation.
Okay.
So I want you to try to sell me on something, anything you've experienced recently that you think other people should try because you love it so much. You want everyone else to love it too.
Ooh, the pressure. I told you I'm a terrible quick thinker. Let's see. You going to be able to edit out some of the dead air as I'm
trying to
go?
Nope, I'm going to leave it all in. Actually, while you're thinking, I see a couple of comments.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what they have to say while I think. Somebody throw in a suggestion for me, please.
It's just people watching.
Oh, dude, somebody say something. Somebody give me an answer for that question.
It could be
a
book, a movie, a restaurant.
Hmm.
Music you heard recently.
I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that. You're going to laugh at me. So I think that everyone should go out and buy Steve Perry's new
Steve
album.
Steve Perry
yes.
from Journey,
yes.
Steve Perry?
Yes. Also known as like...
I have stopped believing.
All right. It's over. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Okay. No, Steve Perry. Go ahead.
Listen, Steve Perry. I was almost going to get like really spazzy then and start tapping on the table. Listen to me. Steve Perry. Steve Perry has been... We can't let my husband hear this part, but Steve Perry's been the love of my life since I was in fourth grade.
Wow.
We don't want to talk about it. I already told you how old I am, so so you can do some math there. Let's not. So this is like the big deal in my life right now, which tells you how little my life is right now.
All right.
But yes, he is out with his first album in 25 years.
I did hear something about that.
Just something?
Is it Journey sounding? Or
No, it's totally Steve Perry. Okay. I hear like little glimmers, like when he sings a certain, because of course I've listened to it like 1,000 times already. Would you like all of the lyrics? I can do that right now.
Sure, yeah. Everybody's got time.
Yeah, no, and of course that's all they care about right now. But yes, I would highly recommend it, unlike some people who are maybe not recommending it. I don't really know. But I would recommend it if you are a classic rock fan, if you're a Journey fan, real Journey fan. No, no offense to the current incarnation, but you know. But yes, I did a terrible job selling that.
No, that's fine.
It's his voice is like
it's unique.
Velvet. Yeah.
Nobody else sounds like that.
It's so spectacular. And of course the rumors were that he'd lost his voice and that he didn't have it anymore.
Right,
you know, he just didn't have that Perry-esque thing anymore. And I beg to differ.
You're telling
people.
Us it's back.
It is back.
Okay.
It is back and
right.
It is spectacular.
So go
yes.
check out Steve Perry's album.
Please do.
I'll listen to it on the way home.
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, why not?
I don't have anything in my Audible queue right now.
Oh.
So it's a good time to try something
yeah.
new.
Yeah. See? Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you
I
so
really
much.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it
okay.
too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
I don't have to turn this off.
Well, there it is. If you're interested in women's contemporary fiction, but maybe you disdain romance novels, then Elsa is probably the author for you. I really enjoyed speaking with her, and I hope you'll check out her work at elsakurt.com or on Amazon. Her work under the name Melanie Cherniak is available on both of those sites as well, and of course at that bookstore in Wethersfield. Now, this week, I get to send a special thank you to the pod's newest stagehand, Mike S. Mike, thank you so much for coming on board with your support. Stagehands and table legs get access to some behind-the-scenes content, including occasional live broadcasts. So if you'd like to join them, visit patreon.com/tabletostage for more info. I've currently got a survey available about some possible merchandise opportunities, too. So you can find that. It's posted on Twitter, Facebook, and on the Patreon site. And if you have like 2 minutes to give some feedback, I really would appreciate it. I also have the pleasure this week of making a recommendation for another author that has appeared on the show before, Michael R. McGuire. Michael was generous enough to provide me a copy of his book, Killer Cop Killer, and I'm pretty excited to actually be able to recommend it to you all now. If you enjoy like fast-paced thrill ride type stories with interesting characters, then I think you'll really love this book. Reginald is the main character. He's the kind of character I really enjoy reading. And the book is $2.99 on Amazon for the ebook version for the Kindle. So make it happen. That is it for now. Until next time, keep creating.